Yeah, the idea of what God can do is what I believe most. It didn't improve it. Our heritage has nothing to do with what God can do. It's with what God does. And the problem has been that we, for years, have tried to, and you may, Alice says all the time, I come in late and I don't know what y'all are talking about. So the term civilized, we try to civilize people. Churches try to civilize people and teach them what it means to be civilized. And we said a couple weeks ago, God wants to wonderfully heal you, but he has never wanted to make you normal. He doesn't want you to civilize people. He wants you to guide people. That's where God wants to move us to. From, trying to tell people this is what you need to do. And he may use you to do that once in a while. But to guide them, and instead of saying this is what you need to do, you'll point and say this is where you need to be. That's the difference. That's our heritage. Our heritage is to be guides, not to be, people say, teach. Those who can't teach. Have you ever heard that expression? Those who can't teach. And they're good teachers many times. But you put them in the field, most people who teach at cooking schools could not run a successful restaurant. Most people, Alice, I know I've taken, and others, once again, may not, LUTC and CLU, I've been through those courses. But the people who taught them weren't successful insurance agents. They were successful, but not agents. The idea that God has, he doesn't want you to teach. He wants OJT, on-the-job training. He didn't come to hold classes for the disciples. He said, watch. Kind of like the Karate Kid. Watch, grasshopper. Very good. And we learn as we experience. So before we go there, we've gone through the idea of clouded thinking. And last week, we talked a little bit about God taught. We want to talk about God moved. That's our heritage. God moved. And Scripture will tell you, as we're going to see, he didn't call you to go and hold. It always makes me laugh when people hold discipling classes. Very clear in Scripture. We'll go to it and you'll see what he wants. So let's bow our heads. Father, we have come because you have called. We have come because you have chosen. You say, we didn't choose to come here. You chose us to be here. So we are here on a divine appointment. Father, as your word is open, too often, human words, human wisdom gets in the way, gets between your people and your mission. So, Father, annihilate the servant, resurrect yourself, your Son, and your Spirit, so that your Son might be lifted up, so that your Spirit can be poured out, so that you can be glorified. Accomplish it because you promised it. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Amen. The idea of the whole civilization making everyone the same is in direct contrast to what our heritage is. When Jesus walked this earth, he was like no other teacher. He wasn't like the church. He wasn't like the everybody else. As a matter of fact, as we were talking Thursday evening in John, the book of John, it says, surely were the teachers, we would know if it happened. We would know. They didn't know. And worse, if they did. Some people say they knew he was the Messiah. Well, think of how dumb that is. That's like going to Dr. Duane and he says, you know, I'm told you have cancer. Take this one pill. I can't wait till Monday because there's going to be a show on TV, how to lose weight in 4 hours. Dr. Oz, it has to be true. Yeah. And he says, guaranteed, this is guaranteed to work. So Dr. Duane says, take this one pill 4 times a day for 4 days, and everybody who's done it has been 100% cured. 4 times. That's 16 times I have to remember. Can I do it 3 days? No. And we go, okay, so it's 100% effective. Now, too much to ask. Which one of us would do that? So, if they did know and they didn't do it, as Spence told me this week, then you need to Google duh and your picture will come up. Think about that. If you know what God wants, if you know what God expects, and you don't, Google duh. See whose picture comes up. Put a mirror first on the computer. Between the Google part and God tells us, he says, you know, I want you God moved. And so in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 22, he gives us the answer. And people, they say, you know, God doesn't have all the answers. Sometimes he wants us to think things out for ourselves. There's even a commercial now. Sometimes God is waiting for you to make the next move. God tells you very clearly, things aren't left up to question. And so in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning with the 22nd verse, it says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name. When you are blessed, understand something. When Jesus said, what I'm about to do isn't to raise Lazarus. What I'm about to do isn't to satisfy the hunger of the 5,000. What I'm about to do isn't because there's a widow crying. What I'm about to do is to glorify him. It's about God. Jesus knew it. And leadership by example was just proven to you up here. She didn't do because the example didn't do right. I didn't wait 15 seconds. Jesus is a good example. So he says, do what I do. I do the will of him who sent me. And understand, it's not about Lauren. It's about God. It's not about this or that. It's about God. So he says, I do it for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you were. When people think of Christian and see you, what do they think? profane. I don't use profanity. I know that's the first thing that comes into a Christian's mind. You don't have to use profanity to be profane. He's going to explain that real quick. Because he says, you have profaned my name where you went. I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been provided among the nations. The name you have profaned, you know, two sentences said twice. Chances are they profaned his name. The nations will know that I am Yahweh. The declaration of the Lord God. When I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. God doesn't want people to know God because Spence was healed, because Lauren is healed, because Carol is healed, because this is done, Randy gets a job. He wants people to know by seeing their example through you. I want people to have a knowledge of me through you. How do you act when problems come? How do you act when the pressure's on? How is it? What are they seeing? I hope God shows up. Are you sure of the God you serve? He says, this is the key here. He says, I'm going to read it directly from here. When I demonstrate my holiness through you. That puts a lot of burden on us. And rightfully so. We're the ones who claim to be his servants. I don't shop at Wegmans anymore. Why? Because I went there and I went to return something and he said, do you have a Wegmans card? I said, no, but all I want to do is return this. He said, well, you can't do it without a Wegmans card. I said, let me get a Wegmans card. So I filled out the paperwork. I said, now I have a Wegmans card. He said, but you didn't have it when you bought it. I said, Giant or Walmart would have taken it back. He said, well, then I guess you should have shopped at Giant or Walmart. So guess where I shop? Giant or Walmart. I don't care how good the sales are. Why? Because not through Mr. Wegman, but because of the person that represented Mr. Wegman showed me something. What are you showing for God? I guess you should have gone to somewhere else. You need a prayer. I talked to somebody this week who's having car problems, and they were talking to me, and she said something about what happened at church this week. And I said, well, we prayed. First off, we prayed. I said, because, you know, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer first. That's the most important thing we can do. We need to show people that when prayer is needed, we know where to take. We don't, you know, tell them about prayer. We lead them. We guide them to it. She said, you know, this is a mega church. You know, $5 million to build their sanctuary. And it was paid for the day they moved in. Mega church. She said, my pastor just spoke about that. My Father's house should be a house of prayer. And he said, if somebody comes to church needing prayer, he has elders assigned to take them aside and pray for them in the prayer room. I said, well, what about the sanctuary? I said, is the prayer room his house or is the sanctuary his house? Which one's his house? She said, well, you know, there's a couple thousand people. You don't want to hold them up because one person needs prayer, do you? Yeah. Through you, people want to know what God's like. The sermon isn't as important as prayer for Randy Ross and Lauren. It's not as important. I can give you the text. You can go home and read them. You might get something different. You may need something different. But he says, through you, the nations will see what God is like. Not through what God does, but through you. How are you acting? Peace during the storm. Do you have the confidence of knowing? And they said they needed a car. I said, so what's the problem? They told me how many thousands of dollars they had in the bank to put toward a house. They said, but if we use that, we won't get a house. I said, well, if you don't use that, how are you going to get to your house? Walk. God can give you more money. He owns it all. They said, well, you know, I guess we need to talk to some dealers. I said, you need to talk to your daddies who you need to talk to. When you need a vehicle, your daddy owns them all. So go to your daddy. He will direct you where to go to. He's already provided the money, but that's for a house. That's what you say it's for. He says, use it for the car. Because you can't go house hunting even on a tandem bicycle. Use it. I've got more. Wasn't that Jay Leno's commercial for Doritos or something? Eat all you want. We'll make more. The idea of God having a limited supply is what we teach people. Are you sure you'll have enough left over? What if I give? I don't know. Maybe we need to sing that again, Aaron. What if I give all? What can that gift do? See, it's not through his actions. He wants to do it through his people, his heritage. Us. He doesn't want to do it through his church unless you honestly believe the true term church, then yes, because you are the church. See, civilized relates people to what's right and what's wrong. God doesn't want you to relate to what's right and what's wrong. That changes. Let's face it. What was wrong growing up was stealing. They change it to looting, and all of a sudden it's not wrong anymore. He doesn't want you. God, his heritage, needs to know what's good and what is evil. Jesus dealt with this. It's not lawful. What are you doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? The law, what's right and what's wrong, says you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. What was Jesus' answer? My Father is working. Good and evil. I would help you, Alan, but it's the Sabbath. And I can't walk, you know. I can walk this far, but two more steps would be wrong. So I know you need help. As soon as the sun goes down, I'll be back. Somebody else called me this week and they said, you wouldn't go shopping on the Sabbath, would you? I said, not unless I needed something. But I will promise you this, and it's on tape so you can listen to it. I will not shop at Wegmans on the Sabbath. It's not about whether I shop or not. It's about, what am I saying about God? If my neighbor is hungry and I find out about it Saturday morning and I say, you know, Kay, I know if they've gone 2 weeks without food, surely they can wait till tonight. Or we can show up late for church. But the only store open is Wegmans. You know what? I'm in Wegmans buying them food. It's about what's good and what's evil. It would be evil when it's in my capabilities to have them eat a noon meal for me to wait until the next day. That's just evil. See, it's not about right and wrong. That's civilized. It's about good and evil. God wants people to see Him through you. We don't want people to see Him through us. We want them to see Him through the corporate us. It's the church. It's the church. You know, look at the church. If it wasn't for the church, there'd be more Christians. That's our heritage. There's no obligations. I don't have to. Evil doesn't change. The question was asked in Bible study. You know, well, then one day can't homosexuality be right with God? No. How do I know? Because He says it's evil. A man shall not lay... This is Bean Tate, isn't it? Oh, my. I can never go to Canada and preach now. A man shall never lay with a man. A woman shall never lay with a woman. It's an abomination. Let me translate that. It's evil. It's evil. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's evil. It's evil. God knew what He was doing. And He looked at Adam and He looked at Eve and He said, "It is good. What God has joined together, let no man..." And you have whole organizations trying to say what is good is evil and what is evil. You just think you're so smug because you... No, it's not about that. God wants His heritage to know. It's not wrong to heal or to carry the bed on the Sabbath. What's wrong is to let Him lay there. See, they never said He was demon-possessed because He was waiting for a pole to be troubled. So evidently, several people in their church were healed at that pole because everybody knew about it. They never went and preached sermons at the pool of Bethesda saying, "What are you fools doing?" Evidently, it was common practice. What they did, they looked at the one who was not normal when he said, "What do you want?" "I want to be healed, but, well, you know, like, get up, take your bed, and walk." He continues. In verse 27. Actually, we'll start with 26. This isn't the only place He says it. We talked about this New Year's Day. "I will give you a new heart." He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the old heart of stone." Because, see, some of us, just like you have four tires and you have a spare tire, just in case something happens to one of the four, do you know how much more you can get in your trunk if you didn't have that spare tire? A lot. See, so some of us say, okay, if you carry a spare tire, why not carry a spare heart? I know it's not as good as the new heart, but I can use it as a backup heart till I get the new heart repaired when it needs repairs. He says, understand something. if you don't let me remove, can you imagine, Dr. Duane, somebody coming in and saying, yeah, I need a new heart, but you ain't taking my old one out. Leave the old one in there, but put the new one in there too. God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that day. He says, I want to take out what is already in you, and I want to put something new in you. What do you want to put in me? A new spirit, new life, new drive, so that people can see you and then see me in you, like Jesus said. He says, if they've seen me, they've seen the Father. He says, so he says, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes. I will cause you to follow. A new heart follows. Now, I don't know what happens in literal heart transplants, because I met people and say, they said, well, if you get somebody else's heart, do you love? You hated tacos before, and they love tacos. We all of a sudden like tacos. No, he gives you a new heart that will cause you to fall in love with what he loves. You just follow him. You do what he wants you to do. It's called God moved. God moved. He's the one who does it. He wants us to go where he wants us to go. He wants us to do what he wants us to do. You know, the whole clouded thinking, the whole God taught. And now he says, if you have clouded thinking and you are God taught, it's time to be God moved. If somebody asks you to do something, you better know God is in it. You know, don't think God is in it. And don't think just because they say God is in it, it's in it. Because it's not always in there. Sometimes there's just people in it. And they feel good. And they even do good things. Kind of placebo, is that what they call it? When they give you a fake pill and you feel better. I know a fella attended church with us. And he was an alcoholic, and he would get drunk all the time. And he got kind of embarrassed because he got a DUI, and it was in all the papers that he got a DUI. Prominent person in the community. And his wife didn't tell him and put near beer. No beer, actually. No non-alcoholic beer. Yeah. Put it in the refrigerator. And when he said, yeah, I'd like a beer, I'll get it for you. And she brought him non-alcoholic beer. And she said after about four, he got drunk. And there was no alcohol. Yeah. There was no alcohol. Yeah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. He actually thought it tastes like it. It looked like it. It smelled like it. And so this is saying, you know what? That's what people do. If you think it's going to happen, there's a difference between thinking something's going to happen and knowing. And here's how you know. They say, how do you know? God tells you. God tells you when to pray. And how to pray? God tells you. And how does he tell you? I don't know. Because sometimes people show up and they say, will you pray for me today? And we don't have prayer up here. Yeah. Why? Because I don't like you? No. I haven't been told to. How do you know? Because it says, I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow. if you people, I know it's debatable, and debate all you wish. I know different. God will lead you. God will direct you. He will tell you when to move and when to stop. He will tell you when to speak. Solomon says there is a time for everything, a time to speak and a time to be silent. And people, there is. God will do it. He doesn't just put it in there because he said, remember when you were in school and you count 450 words. I need 50 more words. Gabriel, we need 50 more words. I'll put in there, there's a time for everything. Time to live, time to die, time to... What are we up to? We need two more words. We're going to give the teacher more than he wants. Gabriel, put in amen and amen. That isn't what he does. He put it in there because he wants you to know. Why does he want you to know? Because he wants you to hear. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Which Spirit? The one he put in your new heart. I've removed the old. It's time, people. It's time for us to say, do you want to know what God is like? God will interrupt a worship service to heal a little girl. Our churches won't interrupt a church service to mention an ill person. You want to know what God is like? God will wait until the time is right to go to Lazarus's house. You want to know what the church is like? If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. What a contrast. What a contrast. You just have to decide which one you want to be in. You can stay in church, or you can receive your heritage. You can civilize people, or you can guide people to the foot of the cross and trust Jesus with them. Whatever he wants to do with them. Or to quote the famous philosopher, Aaron Monroe, whatever it takes. That's where we are. It's 2011. I heard Rudy Giuliani quoting me. Did you know that? I'm famous. Rudy Giuliani quoted me last night on Fox News. Well, not really quoting, but he said the same thing. He said, for the first time in my life, I'm afraid for my country. I said that over a year ago. So he must have been quoting me, right? Or maybe, just maybe, it's the same spirit. Could be. I'll tell you one thing. Nobody listens to me. Millions were listening to him. Maybe we ought to wake up. I'm here to tell you, this is the year. If you're ever going to be abnormal, as Jesus was abnormal, and do what God wants you to do rather than what the organization wants you to do, this is the year to do it. This is the year to do it. It's time. It's time to be clouded thinking, God taught, God moved. It's time. Let's bow our heads. Father, we no longer want to be like the world and debate and discuss right and wrong. You have told us what is good, and you have told us what is evil. Father, it's simple enough. All we need to do is follow. To listen. To have an ear that's so attuned to you that we can hear Revelation puts it this way. Let the churches hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And Dr. Duane just said this morning, you are the church. You are the temple. Let the temples hear what the Spirit says to the temples. Thank you, Father, for this privilege we call fellowship and worship. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you for choosing us so that Ezekiel says that through us they might see your glory. We thank you for it. I won't say I receive it. Father, each one of us has to make that decision. I receive it, and I will go forward in it and follow you because you were gracious enough to remove the heart of stone and not just put in a new heart, but a new spirit. Thank you, Father. You want to do it for each and every church sitting in this building this morning. Let us not leave here without making that decision. This is the year. Because this is the year Jesus has called us to. This is the day he called us and said, choose you this day. Oh, Father, you have brought us to this place for such a choice as this. It's easy to say. But have we witnessed, as we've witnessed in the past, it's not that easy to take up our cross and to follow you. Accomplish it for your glory, we pray. And we thank you for it, because while we're going through it like Randy Ross, we may not be that anxious about thanking you for it. So we want to thank you for it in advance, because we know you have a plan for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you need to send Randy that song. No. Because as we look at clouded thinking and God taught and God moved, it all boils down to this. For I know the plans that I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. My plans are for your welfare and not for your disaster. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and you will come and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart.